All right, so that I just did that teaching on your response to correction. And one of the things that really brought it to heart for me was recently we had a man that we were united to for a very short time. And he challenged one of my doctrines, not my doctrine, the doctrines of God. It's not my doctrines, one of my teachings about the doctrine of God. And he challenged it, and I had absolutely no problem with him challenging it. The problem was he didn't use scripture. He was kind of slandering what I teach. And then he was kind of saying he wants other brothers to look at it. And I said, not a problem. They'll tell you what you're saying is wrong. And so I just had an experience with somebody coming and correcting me. And it happens often. I get a lot of emails where people say, you're wrong. You're a heretic. Really, show me where. Rarely do they ever open the Bible. Rarely do they ever have a good case. It's not because I'm right. It's usually because they're so heretical and false. But any thoughts, brother, about my teaching I just did on what is your response to correction? And I gave some examples, good and bad, from the Old and the New Testament of men that had responses to corrections. Any thoughts from that?
I think one main thing that jumps out to me is how important correction is for man's witness as well.
Amen.
It's really important. We don't think about it a lot, but the world sees how godly men react to correction, and the brothers and sisters see how men or women react to correction. So it really is a big part of your witness. Like, our witness, yep, we're going to preach the gospel, yep, we have to keep ourselves unspotted from the world, but one of those things we have to keep ourselves unspotted from is reacting to correction in the flesh.
Yeah, because what it can do is it can ruin your credibility, right? Because if we're supposed to be about the truth of God, this isn't about my ministry, your ministry, this isn't about how smart we are. This is about Christ and his word and his gospel going out. And we all take a back seat to that. I quoted the scripture, John 3:30. John the Baptist, the greatest man that ever lived, said, man, I can't even lace Christ's sandals. And he said, I must decrease so Christ can increase. So we decrease our pride. We decrease our flesh. We decrease our stubbornness to correction, and we open ourselves up and go for God's glory. I really think the attitude, let's talk about this, the attitude of when someone corrects you, what your attitude is. Are you taking it personal? Oh, how dare they correct me? Or are you saying, maybe they got a point. I should look into this. I think who is correcting you makes a big difference. Some heretic in the street, I get it. You're probably not going to take that as well as a trusted brother. But if a trusted brother brings you correction and you kind of have issue with it and maybe get in your flesh or make excuses, or sometimes I mentioned the teaching, people lie or they kind of try to skirt around what really was said or done. I think that really shows that you're not really, you don't have the right motive. Does that make sense? Motive, I think, makes a big difference in this.
Yeah, it comes down to, is everything in your life lived for God's glory, or are you still holding on to your pride or maybe your image or whatever it might be?
Yeah.
Everything is done for God's glory. If you're corrected from the Word of God, there should be meekness, there should be lowliness. Like you said, John the Baptist, I decrease so Christ can increase.
Yeah.
There should be that meekness and lowliness of heart, definitely.
Yeah, and another thing, how about this? Like, we're talking mostly in the body here because we know the world doesn't correct us because they don't have sound doctrine. So in the body. So how about this? So if you're a brother that takes correction, like some of those examples I gave in the scriptures. David took it. Oh, I've sinned against God. Simon took it and said, pray those things don't happen to me. If you're a brother that takes correction good, don't you kind of pave the way to have not only a good reputation being blameless, but don't you also pave the way to where people can more easily come to you and go, you know, this is not a problem. Oh, I can go to my brother anytime and, you know, correct anything, talk to him about anything. He's totally open to that. But what if you show that you're fleshly, you get, you know, stubborn about it, all that, it ruins your blamelessness, ruins your reputation, and then what happens to people that have to come and bring correction to you? They're like, oh, great. Remember the last time we tried to correct him? He got pretty upset, or he got fleshly, and he got hurt in his flesh feelings. So it can really either draw people close to each other in respect for the truth, or can it not, like, push people away?
Yeah, that's a really good point. We see it, I mean, in all over the churchianity, evangelical and whatnot. You come and rebuke, say, some false teaching, clearly false in the Word of God, and their first reaction is fleshly. Perhaps they don't prevent their own people from coming after you. It's just a really bad witness. So now people, when they see that church, see that pastor, whoever it may be, have that impression of, wow, this guy, I mean, it says it in the Word of God. Why doesn't he want to sit down and at least talk about it? So it's those first reactions. It can cause a lot of tension in the body, yeah. Definitely, because the flesh is unpredictable.
Yeah.
So if you show yourself to be a very fleshly person when it comes to correction, it's not good.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. It doesn't glorify God. It doesn't help ready all leaven out, like I read the verse, to root all leaven out. And we all want to be open books to each other so that we're all approachable, teachable, correctable. And how that's done is by, like we talked about, having that meek heart, lowly humbleness, no pride in what we're doing for the Lord, only being a proud doer, as it says, it's in Psalms, I believe, being a proud doer. That's great to have pride in, but not a proud doer in, I could never be wrong, don't correct me, or don't challenge my motives. And again, I think motive has a lot to do with this. Why are you doing everything you're doing? And if you root out the motive of everything you do, I think you're going to end up doing it a lot better for the Lord. A lot of people are doing things with the wrong motives, and then when correction comes, I think that gets exposed. And so maybe that's another teaching on motive. So anything else on that, brother, on taking our response when we get correction? Any other thoughts?
Well, a wise man loves correction because it glorifies God.
Amen.
And we're called to walk in the Spirit, not the flesh. And I think we heard it pretty well.
Amen. Good stuff, brother. Thank you. God be praised.